This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I'm driving home today. Yay. I am driving another car this week. So I'm not in back in my little buggy.
Sunlight, you're probably deficient, and supplementing is likely.
Stop
to be it. How are we not recommending?
Why is this doing
probably
this? Stop it. Oh man. So I was listening to something. I was listening there. So, and I might want to finish listening to that. So we'll just turn that down for now and we'll come back later. I'm driving a Toyota something. It's Toyota. I don't know what it is. It's a pretty sporty little car. I finally got a chance to get my car, my tank, into the body shop. I think I had mentioned that it was supposed to go into the body shop a couple of weeks ago. And then because I got hit in the back and then the brakes went out, and that was exciting. But I made it home. And then for a couple of weeks, and then I got it fixed. And I had to rent a car, and then this car that I'm renting now is actually free to me. So, whoop, whoop. So that's good. And I have this car, I think, for a couple of more days. They called and said that I was going to get my car possibly back tomorrow. And then we're going to have to shuffle cars and figure all that out. And hopefully that all gets resolved, and then we're done. So I think I'm hoping that the recorder stays where it is. So, cause it's a little curvy up here, on the dashboard where I normally put the recorder. But all is well, all is well. It's been a good week. We've got a lot of things done. It's been a lot of exciting developments, but we got closed, for August this last week, and everything seemed to get processed and seemed to be okay. So, you know, step at a time. And writing is going well. I am doing a HAD pass at the moment, which I have a tendency to overuse the word had, as he had been going to keep users anchored to where I'm talking about what happened previous to the scene. But I have a tendency to overuse it, so I kind of have a new policy that if I put had in the first sentence, I don't need had through the rest of the paragraph, because I can just re-anchor people when they get back. Okay, that may happen. This car has a little, that beep, 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 beep. This car has a little thing where it watches the lines on the road, and if you happen to get too close to a line on the road and you haven't put on your blinker, then it starts grousing at you. So that's what that beep beep is. I'm just going to keep talking. It also has a thing where if you go too fast, it'll start beeping at you because it knows what the speed limit is. Although it's reading, maybe the speed limit is still 45 through here. Anyway, so I've been reading through the book. I think it's good. I'm happy with it. I'm happy with the flow so far. I'm happy with all that kind of stuff. But now I'm just going through and searching for the word had and then confirming whether or not I can rip that had out. So that's very exciting. There, see, it's unhappy. Come on, I'm not that close. So, anyways. So all is well. All is well. I think I have the costumes for the kids. We'll see whether both of them want to be on the cover. That's probably going to come up in the next week-ish or so. Maybe not this weekend, but next weekend. Get the cover done. Get the files uploaded. Get the books ordered. Find out who wants to be a beta reader. Ta-da-da-da-da-da. And then I'm on to book 16, which I start writing first week of October, if not sooner, probably the last week in September. My wife and I were trying to figure out where we were going for vacation, and nothing felt right, but she spent all day one day, 8 hours, looking and looking and looking and trying to get clear. And finally, she just called me at one point this week and she said, Phil, she said, I just can't. It doesn't feel right. Nothing feels right. And I said, sweetie, you know what? We have no idea what's going to happen the last week of September. And we just need to just hold. If you don't feel right about this, let's just hold. So we are going to go still do our vacation for the week of that last week in September, because our wedding anniversary is the 24th, which will be 33 years. And we'll probably do some day trips and just stay close to home and, you know, we'll just see. So I think that will all be fine. So that's coming up. That's going to be fun. But during that week, typically, we just kind of relax and sleep in and all that kind of good stuff. And typically, I'm up in the morning and out for a run and get cleaned up. And then I have time to crack my computer open. So I'll probably be doing a little writing that week. And trying to get my characters out of all the trouble that I got them in book 15. So I think I know how I'm getting them out of all that trouble, but there are still a few details about how we're going to get them out of trouble, but I think it's going to be fine. And book 16, you know, book 15 is basically done. I know it's set, so book 16 is the last book in the second set of books, and once I, you know, get book 15 put out, there's only 9 books to go now. I'm in the single digits, booyah. And then once book 16 is done, well, you know, we're in the final set of 8, and we're on the road home. So the current opus, the current set of 8 books, is called the Revelation Opus. The first set of 8 books was called the Conviction Opus, and now we're in the Revelation Opus. And then the last set of 8 books is called the Nightmare Opus. So that'll be fun. So, yeah. And I don't know all the details of what's happening in the third set of 8 books, but you know, we'll come up with something. We've made it this far, it'll be fine. I was talking to a friend this last weekend. We went for a walk and we were talking about putting ourselves in a place where we needed inspiration. We needed solutions that came from outside ourselves. And that's the kind of place that writing is for me. It is, and honestly, the costumes are as well. That I can't sit down and tell you that I have all the information that I need to write a given book. But I can tell you that I usually have a starting place. And I know from having written enough that as I start, come on, I am nowhere near the edge. I know that as I start and I write, more stuff will come, and more, and more, and more. Because for me, creativity is like that. Creativity is mechanical. It is, you put yourself in a mode where you need to be creative, and you start your fingers working, and then the creativity comes. And I have yet to see that fail. And by the time we get to, well, I'm already over 2 million words, substantially over 2 million words in this series. And by the time I'm done, it will be substantially over 3 million words. And it will probably be fairly far over 10,000 pages, and all of it was just done one word at a time. moving forward. Saying, okay, we're in this situation, what comes next? And that's fun. That's really fun because stuff happens that you don't plan, and then it just shows up. And then you think, oh, so that's why I did that. When there was nothing, there was, you didn't know. It's just so very, very interesting. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. So the writing is good. This week I had planned to do, I don't know why you are beeping. This week I had planned to do the topic, does riches make you mean? Because I had come across a guy who had done an experiment with Monopoly, and it was very interesting how that he had done this experiment where he brought two players into a room, he had them roll a dice, and one player became the rich player, and the other became the poor player. And so the rich player got to roll two dice as opposed to one, and the rich player got twice as much money every time they went past go. And of course the rich player just, you know, blew the poor player out. But they watched people's reactions and how that this is sliding off. I'm going to pull it back forward. They watched people's reactions as to how the rich people suddenly became more demonstrative, more aggressive, more unkind, etc., 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 etc. And how when they ask the rich players, you know, what contributed to them winning the game of Monopoly, they all said, well, it was their skill and the choices they had made, when in fact it was the roll of the dice at the beginning that gave them twice as much money as everybody else. And it was a very interesting study, and I thought, oh, this is cool, because this is obviously the flesh, and blah, 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 blah. And then there was this little voice, Jesus, said, I think you've already done this topic. So I checked back. Sure enough, I had done the topic, I forget how many years ago. It was ridiculous. It was like back in 2014 or something. I don't know. It was like episode 250-something. And, of course, we're on 650 at this point. So, I mean, it was a lot of... This is what happens when you do 650 episodes. You forget what you're doing. Getting my mail here. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, so all is well. All is well. It's, God is good. He's kind. Things have been going well. So I had to kind of scramble around. Let me get more mail. Had to kind of scramble around and figure out what I was going to talk about. And, of course, there's always the potential to talk about what has become a perennial topic for me. And that is COVID. Because there was really a fascinating development this week. We have talked about the fact that the three stages of truth are ridicule. Any new truth goes through these stages. Ridicule is the first one. Violent opposition is the next one. And then the third one is acceptance as if it was always self-evident. So I've been sort of watching this whole thing with ivermectin and COVID, you know, watching for these stages, because it was all ridicule for a while. And just, oh man, there's so many stories that come out that they won't even say the name of the drug. They will only say that it's horse dewormer, you know. So, so yeah. So, some of you may know there is a podcaster, very famous, Joe Rogan. Well, he may not be very famous to you if you aren't familiar with him, but Joe Rogan is a famous podcaster, has one of the largest podcasts in the world that people listen to. He came down with COVID. And so he came down with COVID. He was locked and loaded, ready to go, and they just threw the kitchen sink at it. So He did monoclonal antibodies. He did ivermectin. He did an intravenous vitamin C drip. He did vitamin D. And he was clear. He was clear, as in came back with a negative COVID test in, I think, 5 days. From the time he tested positive, the time he had a negative COVID test, 5 days. And was actually feeling better after like 3 days. Well, of course, that just, of course, you know, I mean, he came out and said he had come down with COVID, and there was just this glee. There was just people just writing about how great, you know, this, they didn't say how great, but you were just gleeful that he had come down with it. And so maybe now he'd see this isn't a joke, and that, you know, how dare he say all that stuff about stuff that he didn't say, they were quoting. And it was the same kind of glee there was when Donald Trump had gotten COVID. Everybody was just like, yeah, now he's going to get his, you know, and then not wearing a mask. And then, you know, they went in and gave him remdesivir and monoclonal antibodies. Well, that is, and et cetera, et cetera. And then he was back on his feet in no time. And they're like, oh, man. So that whole thing transpired. And then, of course, there had to be the flood. There had to be the flood of articles about how that Joe Rogan was supporting horse dewormer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so then Joe Rogan came out and was talking about how that CNN is making blankety blank up. You know, and then the articles have to go out trying to explain what Joe Rogan is saying and what this is saying. And it's so interesting because anybody who wants to debunk or wants to try to debunk ivermectin's utility in treating COVID will say it's an antiparasitic device, a drug. It's just an antiparasite and it doesn't have any antiviral properties. Oh man, when you download, there is a journal article published in a peer-reviewed journal that reviews what ivermectin has been used for, and it has been used against RNA viruses, you know, a dengue fever, and they just list a whole bunch of them. And so it's not only an antiparasitic, it is an antiviral as well. It's an anti-inflammatory, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, they ignore all that and claim it isn't. They don't claim there's any data, you know, and it's just, it's really fascinating to watch all that dancing around. And in conjunction with that, you know, this past week, there was also this story that came out that supposedly there was a hospital in Oklahoma that was having to turn away gunshot victims and they just couldn't treat them because people had taken so much ivermectin, they made themselves sick and, you know, they were throwing up and they had to be admitted to the emergency room and all this kind of stuff. And there was one doctor who had talked to one TV station about how horrible all this was. And then like the Rolling Stones picks it up and they put out this full-blown article. And then from that, Rachel Maddow picks it up and this commentator picks it up and that. And this whole thing blows up. And then the hospital in question comes out and says, yeah, that doctor is affiliated with a medical group that works in this hospital, but he hasn't been here for 2 months. And none of that stuff is happening. You know, and so you get this situation where it's like, well, you know, but everybody picks it up and they run with it. And then it all gets saturated out in the populace. And then when the retraction comes, Rolling Stones just updated their story. They didn't publish a retraction. They just updated. Well, the hospital says this, you know. But does somebody like a Rachel Maddow come out and say, yeah, well, we talked to you about last night. That was all just bunk. Of course not. Of course not. Now, here's something to bear in mind. There was an article called When Fake News Goes Viral, Lessons of a Lie About Ivermectin. So, and this article was talking about the fact that bogus stories used to be the rare exception. Now they've infected the media business. False stories used to be limited to a single outlet. Now they spread like wildfire, fueled by technology that burns past the remnants of any guardrails. So, for instance, like a Rolling Stones. So they have this article they're going to publish. Did they even contact the hospital in question and say, is this happening? Doesn't seem like they did. They just ran with the story. Because it's not really the story, the information is in the story that's important. What's important is, will people click on it? You know, will it enrage them? Will it make them fearful? And what this article talks about is that, you know, both sides are doing this. He says, I'm not saying that either side has a monopoly on false reporting, but in the era of woke newsrooms, a growing share of these wrong-headed attacks come from the left. And in the battle for clicks, only a dwindling minority feels any need to check on allegations before helping them go viral. Said the latest fiasco involves ivermectin, the drug used in both humans and animals, which some people are using to treat COVID-19, even though the FDA says it's useless. So the right is sympathetic to the drug and the left dismisses it as snake oil for Trump types. The NBC affiliate, so he goes through the story, said a single phone call would have disproven the story, but that apparently is too much these days. After all, not a single hospital with this problem was identified. The hospital system this physician is associated with said that not only had its ER not been overrun, it had not treated a single case of ivermectin overdose, which I'm not a doctor, but I've been listening to some people. I was listening to Brent Weinstein talk about talking to a man with a PhD who was a toxicologist and asking him what the side effects would be of overdosing an ivermectin. Would that put you in the hospital? And this PhD who was a toxicologist said it is highly unlikely. From what he had reviewed, there were monkey studies that were done on ivermectin where they were horribly overdosed. So, you know, all these reports about people calling poison control, you know, and you'll notice when you read those reports about people calling poison control because they took ivermectin and they overdosed themselves, they never say what happened to the people. They never say if anyone died. They never said if anyone was seriously sick or admitted to the hospital. They just called poison control. So maybe they took too much because they didn't figure it correctly and they got nauseated and they threw up. You know, it's just very interesting. So, so here's what's interesting, though, is, you know, someone points out that Rolling Stone has taken plenty of heat, and deservedly so, for helping the story nationally and broadening it to include a swipe at podcaster Joe Rogan, who says ivermectin helped him get over the virus. This is the same magazine that reported on a gang rape that never happened at the University of Virginia, based on a shaky source, and settled a lawsuit by paying $1.65 million to a fraternity there. So, you know, people grabbed this story and ran with it. And then the really interesting thing is down here at the bottom, is where he starts talking about all the times recently where he just starts naming off stuff. So he says, Talibi, who is a commentator on this, ties this embarrassment to innumerable other media shipwrecks in the last 5 years. So this is not the first time this has happened, and it won't be the last time. So this person says, these other shipwrecks include everything from wrong reports of Russians hacking a Vermont energy grid to Tales of Michael Cohen in Prague, to the P-tape, to Julia Sweltnick's rape accusation, to the Covington High School fiasco, to Russian oligarchs co-signing a Deutsche Bank loan application for Donald Trump's, to Bountygate, and dozens beyond. The media business has become a machine for generating error-ridden moral panics. And they talk about the fact in here that what they're trying to do, what news organizations are trying to do, is simply give people, they had a phrase for it. I was going to look here real quick. They were going to, and it basically was, what you're trying to do is write a story that's going to enrage a fear-ridden populace. In other words, all they're trying to do is stir up the flesh. And the reason they're trying to stir up the flesh is because the flesh will get people addicted to being stirred up, because that's the path to destruction. So if the flesh thinks it can keep sending you back to a given website, to a given news source, and that will stir you up and make you angrier and angrier and angrier, the flesh will drive you in that direction because it wants you angry. It wants you upset. It wants you afraid, because it knows all those things are the path to destruction. I was just talking with a friend before I did the ride home, and I was rehearsing again how I feel like the most important thing at this point in life is to really keep in mind what the guardrails are. And the amazing thing is, you don't have to be aware of all the news. You don't have to know what the quote-unquote truth is when it comes to whether or not there's a lab leak or not, or whether Fauci did this or Fauci did that. You don't have to know any of that stuff. You don't need to watch the news. You don't need to be on social media. All you need to know is that there are guardrails for your life, and you need to stay in the guardrails. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you stay in those guardrails, everything's going to be fine. Which is really amazing. That really will work. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Stay in those guardrails, all is well, and it won't matter a lick how many false news stories there are. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home. And hopefully I'll have my little buggy back next week.